Hello, this is Darian on the D-pad, and I'm here with my co-host, not co-host, but guest, Luke.
Hey, what's up, what's up?
Today we're going to be talking about Super Smash Bros. And why it's nice. it can be a competitive game, and why it's not just a party game, because apparently some people in the fighting game believe that.
Yeah, I've heard that on multiple forums that people are saying it's not a fighting game, that it's just another party game, like something like Mario Party. Or...
Yeah, exactly. It's real. It can be. I will admit, it's a hybrid, but it's not just a fighting game. I mean, not just a party game. You can turn items off, and that's what most people do for tournaments. So that's why. Yeah, it's at tournaments. It could actually get really competitive because they
Just between you and your friends, I find that game gets really competitive.
Oh yeah, even just between your friends, it could get really competitive. Like, even though items are more for party times, even with those, it can get like intense. So yeah.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you throw an item at an opponent, and it just sends them flying right off the map.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it could be freaking Pokeball. It could be anything. You know,
like assist trophy. The baseball bat is brutal.
When baseball you finally, bat. Yeah. The hammer.
The hammer is my favorite. I love getting the hammer. But yeah, I haven't played with items that often anymore because I've been getting into more competitive play.
Nice,
I'm not
nice.
Amazing yet, but I think I'm pretty good, and I'm actually in the gaming club at my college at Dawson, and
cool.
It's pretty fun, despite me not always winning. But yeah.
Well, usually every game's like that. You know, you win some, you lose some. No one's ever really perfect, unless you're one of those amazing esports gamers, then you basically win like every single freaking time.
Yeah, the game club sold at those, but it's okay. We work, we try our best. And basically what makes the game a bit more competitive for competitive players is again, all items are off. They have a list of legal stages, like some stages that have like
That's right. Stages that are meant just for competitive online play, and yeah. Of course there'd be some certain stages that are banned because you could just sit on a ledge and wait for your opponents to like come to you and just easily knock them right off the stage.
Yeah, like stages that are like super flat or all banned, that flat stages that can go off to the edge that you can just kind of grab someone and toss them into easily. Those are banned right away. Like
I remember there's like the classic Mario map that does that. And,
Is it
the Game Boy map that does that too?
I'm not sure. Which
There's one map I remember it mimics like an old style
the Game
console.
And Watch stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's super easy to like kill off. It also just has a really small blast zone, so yeah, that one's easily like banned from tournaments.
It's easy to die to, I find, in that one, because like it changes all of a sudden. Yeah. It's like the floor goes and it's platforms and you're just still standing there, and next thing you know, you're like
poof. Yeah, the stage has a bunch of hazards too, which are usually also things that encourage people to ban the stage. Like, especially in that stage. Everything hits super hard in that stage. Like, you get hit by one thing, you just suddenly launched off, even if you're at, like, zero. And,
craziness.
Another example is in the new... Well, not the a new one, but it came out 2014. One of the newer ones.
Okay,
Smash
okay.
4. There's a perfect... stage that would be perfectly legal if... Because it only has, like, a flat area and some platforms on the sides that appear and disappear.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the stupid hazard that appears every so often, it's the Mega Man stage, Wily Castle. The Yellow Devil comes in after a while, and it completely ruins any legality the stage had. Because like
hits everybody, eh?
Yeah, it hits everyone. It's big too, so it takes up like a third of the stage, and then it moves across the stage like how it does in the original Mega Man. And if you defeat it, it creates one of the strongest explosions in the game that you can just toss your friends into. So that's another reason why it's cheap. So
oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, that stage is banned. So like they have legal stages. They haven't done that in Smash 4 yet, but back in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, they actually had to ban a character in some tournaments.
Yeah, Meta Knight, right?
Yeah, Meta Knight was horrible in that game. Like he was.
Yeah, he was pretty crazy. I remember playing Smash 4 and Smash Melee, actually. Yeah, it was Smash Melee, right? He got banned.
Brawl, it was Brawl.
Or Brawl, Brawl, yeah.
Brawl, he was banned a lot in a lot of tournaments. And when he wasn't, he would always win. And the actual, like, meta of that era was based around him.
Just only Meta Knights, eh? That played online.
Yeah, like, who can hit Meta Knight, who can chain grab Meta Knight, who can like prevent Meta Knight from attacking him, which is very hard to do.
Mostly virtually close to none, right?
Yeah, basically. Because like he was... reasons why he was broken was because, first of all, his frame data was insane. Like, he could attack, like, so many times in, like, a single second. Like, his up aerial, he would slash you with a sword, but, like, it comes out on the second frame of animation, so you could do, like, three in 1 second.
Wow. It sounds like something you can almost do, like, on any fighting game, you know, like, how they juggle opponents.
Oh, yeah, like, you can... This happens a lot in when I play Mortal Kombat with friends. Like they,
that game is notorious for juggling.
Oh like, yeah, people
combos and getting moves off and yeah. No, I've watched insane like YouTube videos on like some of those competitive players from Mortal Kombat, and they combo off so crazy and juggle. Another game I've seen like where like players have a lot of that skill is Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh yeah,
that's another one. You see people like, just juggling opponents, and also Marvel vs. Capcom too.
I played that one. That one's, yeah, you have to like learn how to do aerial combos and stuff. I can barely do them. Like, if anything, the only thing that I can do that's close to that is
it's
like,
tricky, and you got to reuse the right characters too. If you have the right team, you can juggle. Like, I use not this Marvel vs. Capcom that's out, the last one that was out, I think it was Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah, that one.
That one, I had a pretty sweet team. I'd use Dante, Ryu, and Iron Man, and it was it was just perfect because Dante was the juggler, and then once he's done juggling, I just get my other guys to come in and do like super attacks and just beam my opponent and like basically shave off all their health after that.
Sounds fun. I usually play Iron Man. I always have to have Iron Man on my team, but sometimes I switch between Beautiful Joe and...
Beautiful Joe is actually pretty crazy, too.
That's what I mean. He's the one that I use for, like, aerial combos and stuff. He's the only one I can do aerial combos with. And then I use Ryu, because he's Mr. Ryu's Fighting Game, so yeah, he's pretty easy to learn.
Yeah, he was easy to learn, and then he's just easy to put up in the air, and then once you, like, got, like, all his moves down, like, you just... It's a bunch of moves, but it goes into one big combo that your opponent just like throws the paddle down, like says like exactly. I'm not even gonna play no more, man.
Yeah. So I recently got Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is the one that most people gravitate to, and I really wanted to try learning Phoenix Wright, the
lawyer.
He's like one of the joke characters. Like there's him and there's Deadpool. I think they were introduced at the same time because they're Joker. Even in the intro for the game, they have
Deadpool was in the last one. They actually always pit him against Dante, and it was cool, like in cut scenes and stuff like that, because they almost have like somewhat the same move set.
Yeah, it's true. They have
the swords, the dual pistols.
Yeah, like, and I'm pretty sure their ultimate is like super similar. Like they just have like a barrage of bullets. And stuff.
They basically just do that. It's like the same exact like move.
Yeah, but I tried learning Phoenix Wright. He's really complicated. Like, you have to actually, like, put an input to switch modes, like, fighting styles. Like, because he's a lawyer, there's, like, an investigation mode, and then there's, like, what's the word? I think it's, like, trial. No, trial mode's the last one. It's cross-examination mode or something like that. Like, you take the evidence that you gather up in, like, investigation mode, and then try to see if it, like, matches up. And, if you don't have the right evidence, then you can't get your third hyper combo, whatever it's called.
Oh, okay.
You can only do the second one, which is like the judge appearing and then slamming down, which is okay, but it also launches you. It doesn't hurt you, but it puts you up in the air too. So you're like, it's an okay move, but it's not amazing.
Okay.
Well, you do get all the evidence, which is hard to do in the middle of a fight because you have to like go do down
certain moves and
You have to like kind of stun your opponent, and then you have to go down and get the evidence and stuff. When that's done, you can do like his hyper combo, like his third one. It's so strong and it's so cinematic. He like accuses the other opponent of like committing a crime, and it plays out almost exactly like it does in his host game, Ace Attorney, and it's insane. So it's worth actually getting all the evidence and everything and playing safe and all that. It's tough.
That's cool. That's actually really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went off track a little bit, but that's okay.
Hey, that's what we're supposed to do in this type of show, right? It's discussion on video games. Of course, Darian started off talking about Smash Bros. And people saying it's not a fighting game, but I honestly believe it is. Yeah. It's a little different, you know, rather than a health bar, you have a damage percentage.
Yeah. And the higher percent you get, the higher or the farther you get launched. That's how it works. And you don't have to reach a certain percent either. You have to knock them into a blast zone, which is around the stage.
Yeah.
And there's stocks, like instead of rounds, like in traditional fighting games. And I think the reason why people think that it's not, like some people think that it isn't a fighting game or it can't be, it isn't like...
It's just the health bar, eh? That's probably it, eh?
Possibly. It's partially. I think it's because people think it's too different. And like people who are good at like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or Tekken and all that, they can't fully get into like side B, forward B, down B or like the aerials and all that.
They can't get used to that, but they can get used to down forward A or down back forward.
Yeah, like all
those, going full rotation with your joystick and then exactly, hit X. All those
different combos. It's like
that's how Guile's moves are in Street Fighter. You got to do full rotations on like for the
kicks.
You
have to hold the button for a certain amount of time to do certain attacks, like say Sonic Boom and all that.
Bison's the same way too. It's you hold back for like 2 seconds and then you quickly do forward and then he does that dark spin. Yeah, I can't even remember the name, but I remember the move sets and the button commands.
Yeah,
and Street Fighter gets a little complicated at times.
Mm-hmm.
Another actually fighting game that like going a little off topic here, but like another fighting game where it requires you to really know like button commands is, I find, Killer Instinct.
Oh yeah, that
when
one.
You're trying
one.
To perform the ultra combo at the end, like some guys can drag it on forever. I think the longest one I seen was a guy dragged it on for like 2 minutes straight.
Jesus.
Like he brought his opponent all the way down to zero and he just kept doing the combo and I think ultra
after he was at zero?
You normally when you fight, like the guy's health bar gets like low to a certain point where he's stunned and then like after that you perform the ultra combo and you can just keep going off.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
the guy got like over 200 hits.
Jesus, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one like you, if you know like the button commands and the combos, like you can just go off and keep going on forever and ever.
Well, Smash Bros. Is a bit similar in that regard. It doesn't have like full on like input commands except for maybe Ryu in Smash 4 because he's from Street Fighter. They had to put that in somehow. There's still like combos you can do with the different inputs. Like for example, take Ness. He his side special is PK Fire, but it like keeps you in place for a couple seconds and it does damage. Well, before it got fixed, I'm pretty sure it got fixed, I'm not sure. But you could just spam that over and over again, which is really cheap, a cheap way to play. Or you can do it like once or twice to keep someone in place, and then grab them, do a down throw, which knocks them downward and knocks them upward, and then go for a forward arrow, which has multiple hits and a bigger hitbox, and keep doing that to rack up a bunch of damage.
Sounds like a pretty interesting and long combo, actually.
Yeah, it's actually pretty long, and it's effective. It's strong. If you know how to end it off, maybe instead of doing a forward aerial, you can go for maybe a neutral aerial or an up aerial, which actually launches the opponent farther, which could potentially kill. Again, I'm not a NES player, so I don't know exactly, but...
Hey, it's something we could probably look up on YouTube and just see how it's done.
Yeah, like I play Sonic and Lucas... who plays similar to Ness, but he has more combo potential. So
okay.
Ness is stronger. Like even in Smash, like a common thing between fighting games and Smash Bros. Is that there's clone characters. Like
Ken
and Ryu.
Ken Ryu. I found like you just said, Ness and Lucas were kind of like clone characters. I told you that one time for Fire Emblem, Ike and Marth.
Yeah, Ike and Marth. Yeah,
they have like somewhat similar sets, but like. Different, I guess, like special attacks.
I found
the sprite was like very much the same.
Oh well, I mean, they're both sword fighters from the same series. Their movesets aren't really that similar. I mean, other than like maybe the sword swinging being somewhat of the same like style. But a better example for that would be Marth and Roy, who they're clones of anything. Like Roy. He's the one with the red hair. He has fire like elements in his attacks. Some of his attacks are a bit different. Like his jab is different. Like it's a different animation entirely. But yeah, he, like, for his up B, it's not, like, one straight attack. It's actually, like, if you manage to hit someone with it, it, like, deals multiple damage, and it like, does fire damage, and it's good for killing.
Okay, too. Good.
And Marth isn't as much, unless you get the tipper, like in Smash 4, but yeah. And even in Smash 4, there's another clone of that character, of Marth. Her name's Lucina. She's from one of the newer...
Oh, yeah.
One of the newer Fire Emblem games. I think it was Awakening. I'm not sure. It's on 3DS. She plays exactly like Marth, except she has different properties. For Marth, his sword has, like, stronger hits at the tip of it.
Okay.
His tipper. But for Lucina, it's just, like, pretty good damage, like, throughout the entire sword. Like, there's no better at the beginning or better at the middle. In Smash 4, they even did that for Roy. He has a stronger near the hilt, a bit more than the tip.
Okay.
So, yeah. So there's some differences, but they're still pretty similar. Which, again, is like Ryu and Ken, who, I think Ken's attacks are faster and attack, like, hit more. But Ryu's are a bit stronger.
It's, I'd say, actually, yeah, it's like, Ken plays a little bit faster, Ryu plays a little bit more, like, on the damage end, but I find Ken actually has, like, the better, like, super and ultra attacks.
Okay, yeah. I like playing Ken a bit more than Ryu, actually, so, yeah.
Yeah, the burning Shoryuken gangster.
His burning Shoryuken's so fun. Is there actually a difference between their Hadoukens or anything?
Not really. It's very, very identical. Like, it's just that, like, Ryu's character, like, in the lore and storyline, like, Hadouken is more his, like, go-to attack.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And whereas Ken Shoryuken is more his go-to attack. Though, like, Ryu's, like, famously known for, like, using Shoryuken on Sagat and giving him his scar and taking his eye. But, like, yeah, it's become more of, like, a Ken staple. Just because of the burning Shoryuken. And
yeah, because it's more
it looking so much badass. And
yeah. Aren't there even more, like, Ryu and Ken clones afterwards?
There's Sakura, who's actually... I like playing with Sakura. She's really awesome. She's actually, like, a female version of Ryu, but, like, faster and a little bit more flashier. But, like, yeah, she's got a cool moveset. And then there's Dan. Dan's just... I don't care who you are. If you're ever playing Street Fighter and you lose to somebody that plays Dan, like, you should just never play Street Fighter ever again.
Because
Dan's just one of those... He's actually a total joke character.
Is he?
Like, his Hadouken just comes out as, like, a small little blip. And his damage isn't really that high. But, like, he's got good skill sets and good attacks.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta, like, time it and, like, get it. Because if not, like, you just get pwned.
Oh, okay.
Like, Dan's not really one of those good characters, but, like... If you're good and you can beat people with Dan, it's so embarrassing.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he wears this, like, pink gi and, like, he's got...
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, he's just... And he's got the long ponytail. Just even his look, too, and, like, the way his character behaves, like, with his victories and just even his intro, like, into the fight. You're just like, really? I gotta fight this character? And then, like I said, when you lose to that character, you're like...
You just feel bad, yeah.
You just turn the console off and put your paddle down, or you just walk away.
Take like an hour break.
I'm just going to walk out of the room right now. Or right off the bat, you're like, all right, let's go again. But I'm being my best character. And then you just demolished him. Like, that will never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, ever happen again.
I guess that's a little bit like Jigglypuff in Smash Bros. Cause like
Jigglypuff, and also who was another like character if I got beat by? And I was like, really? Oh, the Ice Climbing Twins.
Oh, Ice Climber. They're actually really good. It's weird. Like, in the older games, they had this technique that was actually banned from tournaments. Because, like, they actually, if you were good at doing it, then you could infinite someone and just, with one strong attack, just kill them right after. It's called a chain grab.
Oh, no.
Actually, for them, they had their own name. It's called wobbling. It's where you would desync the Ice Climbers.
Oh, okay.
Like they're, because, like, one would go a little bit slower than the other. You make them go even slower so that when you grab them and you release them, you can grab the appointment with the other Ice Climber.
Like the other guy, yeah.
Yeah, and then just keep pummeling and doing that over and over and over again until they reach a high enough percent that you just,
that sounds devastating.
Do some attack. And then, yeah, it was banned in most tournaments, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, the Banhammer. How I like hearing that word. I play so many different games, like, and not just video games, too, like tabletops.
And
there's always regulations and bans, and it's like, I just like hearing it. I like hearing it, but at the same time, I don't, because... My games like to ban a lot of stuff that I like and use, but hey, it's got to happen though. You got to make the game fair for everybody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I hear it happens all across the board for games like Overwatch. Like they're constantly nerfing characters because finds like somebody that's really good, exploits their technique, and then
everyone complains.
Then within a week, complaints come in, and then we gotta damage reduce or range reduce something on the character just to make it fair. Mm. Or
something with more modern games that you can do because they can just patch things out and everything.
Yeah,
and Smash 4 had a lot of that. But like when you have games in the past, then you can't do that. Yeah.
It's like, what is it, NHL 94? There was a technique you could just do, which was you'd go up to the goalie, and you just did a wraparound, and no matter what you did, like, you always scored with that wraparound. Oh. It was just a glitch.
Oh, okay. Well.
And anybody could do it, and, like, me and my friends would do it to each other, like, all the time.
Okay.
Like, the score would be, like, 20-20, like, within the first period, just because, like, we'd exploit that. Yeah, Jesus. Like, just do a wraparound, and then boom, goal.
Well, damn.
Was that or if you had Tecmo Bowl and someone had Bo Jackson, and you were never going to catch him. Never, ever, ever going to catch you. Look it up on YouTube, Tecmo Bowl, Bo Jackson in 19... What year was it? It was in the 80s. It was for classic Nintendo. But man, even Family Guy did a little bit on it. Like Peter Griffin was playing as like Bo Jackson, and he's just running around. He's like, "I'm Bo Jackson. You can't catch me." And like he'd run back all the way to his end zone. The guys would be like right there, and all of a sudden he'd just take off again, and then like just run in figure eights around the field, and finally get into the end zone. And
oh my god!
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Older games, they can't get patched up, and people totally exploited like a lot of like glitches or just things that people could win with, like insane characters, like all the time.
Yeah,
with like a single move.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I totally like how developers can just patch stuff up online, like right through, like whether it's the Steam marketplace, the Xbox or PlayStation marketplace, and fix things like right on the bat.
There's like a game breaking glitch, they can just fix it up as soon as
possible. Fix it right away and make the game fair for everybody else.
Yeah. It's really good for mostly fighting games, but also like...
shooters even, too.
Yeah, like, or like platformers even. Like at most games, actually, if there's like a game-breaking glitch. Like I remember... it wasn't really improved totally, but there was a Sonic game that came out like in 2014. It was called Sonic Boom Rise of Lyric. It was on the Wii U.
Okay.
It was unfinished... Very unfinished.
One of those games.
Oh yeah.
I know quite a few of those games that came out and you're like, what is this? This isn't finished. This isn't done. What?
Oh yeah.
Like, what am I playing?
There was problems with like, the culling. Like if there's a certain spot, there's actually multiple spots where you can like stand, and if you turn the camera, the characters would disappear and then reappear if you turn it again. And it was bad.
Sounds almost like No Man's Sky.
Oh yeah, didn't that game like start off like
it started nothing? Off very bad. Oh, they actually like legitimately lied to people, like said like, yeah, it's gonna be open world and you can do this and you can do that and you're gonna meet friends, and everyone, the reality was everyone played it and they're like, this isn't what I signed up for.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. Yeah.
And people realized how buggy it was and unfinished it was, and then I think after a year though, like they didn't relaunch it, but like they did a lot of work on it, and people were like, hey, no, they actually fixed this game now. Now it's actually what they initially said it was.
Wait, if it's not what you say it's going to be before you release it, then don't release it.
Yeah, no, that's how you get in a lot of... They got in a lot of trouble. They were about to like face like lawsuits and refunds, but no, they actually went back, they fixed it, and people actually got happy after a while and started going back to it.
All right, well, that's good. I mean... Still sucks that it started off that way.
Yeah, no game should really start off that way. You should always have a finished game, and yeah, nothing buggy, nothing glitchy, everything running smoothly.
Yeah,
I think that's why Fortnite does so well right now.
Yeah,
because like it's constantly fixed. And I remember when I first played it, it was a little bugging, like glitchy.
Oh,
but now I don't play it as much anymore. But it's a good game. It's
okay
the way it's designed. I'm just not a fan of imaginary walls being built out of thin air. And
oh yeah,
stopping you from getting killed. I lost so many matches just because of that. And it's like, really, like you can just build a wall out of like thin air and defend yourself. That's why I stick to more to PUBG,
more realistic.
And that's actually a game that actually has improved over the last like few months, because now it's actually a full release on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
So now you get all the maps, and it renders as soon as you touch down, because before you jump out of the plane,
like
touch down on the ground, and the map wasn't even rendered yet. Like, you're trying to go through a house, and yeah,
it wasn't even there.
No guns are there yet, and then there's opponents around you, and you're just panicking, like, oh my god, I need to find a gun.
Oh, that doesn't sound very good at all. Oh, geez.
No, it was a little rough at first, but now you play it, you get on the ground, it renders pretty fast, it runs pretty fast and smoothly, it looks good.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, back to what I was saying before, sometimes patches don't even fix enough.
Like, oh no, sometimes it could even break the game.
Oh yeah. Like I was saying with Sonic Boom, right? Sorry?
Ever play Grand Theft Auto 5?
Oh, no, I haven't.
It's early stages when, like, that was actually another game you could say was released and it wasn't fully done yet.
Oh, really?
They released it and it was done with the single-player campaign. Mm-hmm. Their multiplayer campaign, though, needed so much work. Like, they released it and you weren't able to play online right away. You had to wait, if I remember, it was, like, 2 weeks. Then, finally, the servers went up and they were glitchy, they were buggy, and people found, like, mad exploits and glitches to get, like, insane amounts of money and like cars. Or there was guys like at level 5 with like a tank already, and they were just like destroying everybody. And but the one cool thing about that game I found is if you tried to cheat, they put a dunce hat on your character.
They did,
like, literally programmed it. Like, you get kicked out of the lobby, you join back into the lobby after the amount of time you were banned, like, from it, like, usually like half an hour, 45 minutes. Yeah, when you came back in the game, your character was wearing a dunce hat.
Great.
And they're like, yeah, we caught you cheating, so, like, yep, you gotta wear this for a few days.
You can't take it off?
No, you can't take it off until, oh, like, wow, your punishment's done, and then you can finally change it. And
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, actually, it was so buggy, too, like, you actually got, like, unsportsmanlike, like, punishments, too. Like, you keep killing someone's, like, car, and it's like, but that's the point of the game, right? Like, you know, someone's trying to chase you, and they're blowing you up, so it's like, I put down a bomb and waited for him, and, like, just as he came through, like, I detonated it, blew up his car, and all of a sudden this little blip, like, shows up in the corner. It's like, oh, you're playing, you're being a very poor sport. It's like, you must be punished. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Like, whatever. So I signed out, signed back in, and I was like, what the heck is this? Tried to take it off, couldn't take it off. Like I said, had to wait, I think it was 5 days.
Holy.
Yeah, I think I played 3 and I was like, screw this. Like, the next 2, I'm just gonna leave it and let it go.
Yeah. The game I was trying to talk about came out on Wii U 2014. It, like I said, it was broken as hell.
Yeah, this is Sonic, right?
Yeah, Sonic Boom. They tried to do a spinoff thing. It didn't really work out. There was a glitch where if you play as Knuckles, you can jump infinitely. Like, you can do his attack, which, like, goes upward, but then you pause the game, right, when he reaches the point of his jump. Then keep doing that over and over and over again. You can make him go to space, basically.
Oh, wow.
It was bad. It was not a good time. When people saw all the glitches and exploits you can do in that game, the developers released a 1 gigabyte patch for it. A patch. Not an update.
A patch.
Yeah, that's a big patch.
Like, 1 gig, yeah, that's huge.
Mm-hmm. And this is on the Wii U, too, so, like,
that was me when they were patching PUBG, and I was like, what the heck is taking this so long? But then I was happy after the patch, because, like, oh, it's a full game now. Oh, there's more maps, more guns, more... Mm-hmm. Hooray, I take it back.
Yeah.
At first, I'm sitting there with, like, my paddle in my hand, about to whip it at my TV, like, seriously, like... 16 gigs? Like, what is this?
16? Oh, my God.
But it was totally worth waiting that 16 gigs.
Oh, okay. Well,
like I said, more maps, more guns, a full game, smoother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens, though, where they patch stuff and it breaks it even more.
Yeah. Kind of sucks, though, when they release, like, a final patch, and then even in that update, there's still some
problem. Small little bug.
Yeah, small things that you know aren't significant enough to change, but are still annoying. Like, I'll say right now, with Bayonetta in Super Smash Bros. At the moment.
Oh, yeah.
People hate her because of how easy it is to... Just, I mean, not super easy to play as her, but, like, how easy it is, like, when you do learn to play as her, to, like, beat everyone because of how cheap her combos are. Like, you can zero to death a lot of people with her, so, yeah.
That's pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. Because the designers designed a lot of the characters to play like how they do in the games. Like, for example, when you're playing a Sonic, you can press down in the special button to do a spin dash, just like he does in the Genesis games.
In the games, yeah.
Yeah. And in Bayonetta's case, her gameplay is designed around like combos and fighting, because she's...
That's exactly what her kind of game is.
Yeah, her game's a beat-em-up. And it really shows, because everyone gets their ass kicked. Bayo combos. Yeah, so we've heard a little off topic, but yeah, basically Smash Bros., in conclusion, is a competitive fighting game for a lot of the reasons we've stated.
And I'd actually agree with that, Arian. Like, I'd actually put it up there with a lot of the other fighting games, like, you know, Tekken, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Dragon Ball Fighters.
Yeah, exactly.
Killer Instinct.
Why do you think Super Smash Bros. Melee has been around in competitive?
Even Injustice 2. How can I even forget that fighting series?
Yeah, that one's really good too.
Phenomenal fighting series. Mm-hmm. Great storyline. Of course, who doesn't love DC? You know.
Yeah. When I play that, I usually play like the Flash or Starfire is my main, actually. She's super fun.
Yeah, Starfire is actually really, really, really cool. And it's cool about like those like characters, like the Teen Titans like characters, they actually use like the voices from the show.
Yeah, well, some of them. I know they use the one for Cyborg, but for Starfire, I know it's actually pretty different, because Starfire in the show has her own like...
Yeah, yeah, her, like, a high, that higher, unique high-pitched like girl voice.
More cheery voice. It's the same voice as... Princess Bubblegum from Adventure Time, if you know her.
Me, as long as they keep using Kevin Conroy to play Batman, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
And, of course, most famously, Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When I found that out, I was like, amazed and shocked, but, like, really happy. I'm like, really? Mark Hamill plays the Joker? Like,
mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Kevin Conroy, the man, he'll always voice Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about all the voice actors in that game, but it's pretty cool. I know the main one that I know is that the guy who plays Cyborg in Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go is the same guy. So, yeah. All right, well, that's our show. Hope you enjoyed listening to us. We'll be doing this every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Hope you guys tune in again sometime soon.